And so I was going to ask you, Kenny, and are those chairs comfortable? Because I know you and Brad helped put those in. Are they comfortable? All right, don't fall asleep on me now. They get real comfortable about 20 minutes later. They'll get real comfortable. But again, we appreciate you guys coming and helping again. I can't say enough about you guys coming and all of you guys have done so far in partnering with us and just helping another sister church. And thank you guys for helping us so much for that. We did a tour with them here earlier. We did a race tour, and we actually got it done in like an hour. So that's pretty fast. But tonight I heard something somebody mentioned. I think it was Deb about Caleb coming to the Lord. And I know I want to say so. We don't celebrate enough. We don't celebrate very well with salvations and baptisms, and we do need to do a better job with that. So I'm going to figure that out yet, because that is a major, that's just your greatest decision in your life. And so, yep, you will be on the top of my prayer list for a while. And so, good news to you. Good for you. Good for you. I can tell you what I shared with her. I said, your purpose is not just here to come to change your life, really. I mean, a lot of people, she said something that got my attention. She said, when I said, the conversation started, are you going to, how long you been with us? And then, oh, okay, when you graduate? Oh, in October. And something about her daughter there a little bit. And I was like, she goes, oh, I'm going to come back. I'm going to keep coming back. I said, oh, really? I said, if every one of you that went through our program said, come back and did exactly what you would say, this church would be full here and up there. Because we've had over, just in the women's side, we've had over 300 women. So that would actually give us probably more attendance than all of our Northeastern Indiana Baptist Association and probably most churches in Indiana. So I'm like, okay, and then the Lord was speaking to me and said, so yeah, the issue is, this young lady has more than what she thinks. She's here for more than what she thinks. And we talked about that, didn't we? We talked about that. And so tonight we're going to be in the book of Daniel tonight. We're going to talk about another man, a young man. Some say he was around 15, 16, somewhere in there. But he, just a young man, where God, he just was in a place. And you ever woke up in a place where you didn't want to be? Yeah. Yeah. You woke up in a place, you're like, man, how did I get here? How could you imagine being dragged out of your home and taken to another place by people you didn't know? A language you didn't understand? By another nationality taking over your land and dragging you to another place? Well, that happened. It happened to Daniel. It happened to all the people at that time. I'm not going to get all caught up into the past of, just know this, that Judah was in a big mess. Okay, Judah was in a sinful mess. They had drifted from God, all the people. They still thought they were great. He wouldn't change anything. Jehoiakim, he wouldn't change anything. So there was a price to pay. And God was going to do some business with him. Because they just wouldn't repent. And so we're going to pick it up here in Daniel chapter 1. We're going to talk about, there's this Nebuchadnezzar who's king, and he is a conqueror. If Pharaoh was a conqueror, he's one of the top conquerors in history. And he was brutal. And he come from that Chaldean line. And we're going to talk about that for a minute. Because I want you to know how brutal and how ugly this group of people were. And that how God was allowing them to do something to teach his people. But God was still in control. We're going to talk about some things tonight. Y'all good for that? Daniel chapter 1. All right, so Father, Lord, again, this day, thank you for tonight. We pray, Father, you open our eyes and our ears, that we may learn from your word tonight. We may put it and plant it inside of us, Lord, that we may be the believer that you call us to be. We may do all that you call us to be. But tonight, may we feed upon your word, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So what we see here, names in the Bible. Let's go here, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. And so what we see here is there is this king, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is a king of this great city, Babylon, and is also of the nation of the Chaldeans. And Chaldeans, names mean something in the Bible. If you go and read throughout the Bible, there'll be a lot of times when there'll be a name, and they give you kind of a definition of what it means. These Chaldeans are some really nasty group of people. They're rough. They're hard. The Chaldean name means robber, demons, those kind of things like that. Versed in the occult, and they were very big in the occult. And so we see that these guys go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. That's where Abraham, his family was all in that Chaldean land when God called him out of the Chaldean land, that nation there. When Satan went in the book of Job, he went up and presented himself before the Lord. Satan was there, and he was chastising and saying things about Job. And we see that Satan used the Chaldean people to come in and raid and steal, kill, and destroy. Those are attributes of Satan, right? And so Satan used the Chaldeans to tear up Job's life and to attack Job. We see it in the book of Daniel, specifically in chapter 4, when these Chaldeans are there. They are just doing rough things there. They're really trying to get Daniel and them in trouble for some things. Some things are happening there. Mentions that they are men of magicians. They are astrologers. Astrologers are those people who horoscopes, things like that. And we also see that they are what the Old Testament, King James may say, soothsayers, which are like fortune tellers. They're all up into the occult. And Daniel and them were besieged and taken into a land of that. And you know it's going to get messy. And you know it's going to get ugly. And the Chaldeans are mentioned also in a couple other books. And anytime they're mentioned, it's never good. So we see that they were taken control of. They were taken over. Verse 2 says, the Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. And this happened also in the past before. But here's what we see here. Here's what we're going to see. These Chaldeans, we said their name also means robbers, right? They stole two big things. This is number one. This is the first thing they stole. They stole the articles. They stole the things out of the house of God. These are the things that were set aside, put in the house of God. These were the articles that they put in. And God allowed it to happen. Because these people wasn't paying attention. They were not rendering the things to God, which was their heart. And they let themselves drift from the Lord. And so even the house was all taken. So those things were taken. That's the first thing they took. Any signage, anything of that of the Lord. And they put it in their false god. They put it in their God's temple in those areas. That's not a good thing. But it's the second thing that is even more damaging. What we see here in verse 3, he says, the king ordered Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. Here it is. The second thing that the Chaldeans stole was the next young generation. That is what happens when a country takes over. What they do is they want to hit the young generation. And so they are very, very smart about what they do. They want to take this generation, the young generation, and they want to indoctrinate them. They want to indoctrinate them. And they're going for the young ones. Listen, our country does it too. We're trying to indoctrinate. And some of the things we do, we're not teaching, we're indoctrinating. We've seen that in the past where things were being taught that shouldn't even be taught in school. They're indoctrinating. And we see that is taking over. This is something that's not new. This is something that was being done here to indoctrinate the young ones, to educate them in their culture, to learn their language, to groom, to think, and to act and serve like a Chaldean. They were given new names. We're going to see they were given new names. We're going to strip you of your identity. And that happened to a lot of them. But God sees the faithfulness of his people. Today, I want to remind you that I am blessed more than me and Carl are blessed more than we deserve, yet I, even in my own flesh, I may complain about things, but we are more blessed, and you are more blessed, and even you that are in our programs are more blessed than many of those in the world today. In Africa, there's a great persecution that's happening, and the churches over there right now, they're going through, in some of the northern countries, they're going through, and they are not trying to seal and indoctrinate those, but if you are a believer, they are brutally killing Christians in churches while they are having church. Evil is always on the move. And Nebuchadnezzar is putting the hammer down, and he wants to order some of these Israelites. They got to be, it's all the things of the world. They got to be good looking. They got to be smart. They got to have these attributes. They got to be these things. It's the same. It's all that the world has. All that the world wants. Wants us to conform to the ways of the world. And we find that in verse 5, the king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food, from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years. At the end of the time, they were to attend the king. Total indoctrination. This is a total, what we would call, brainwashing. To brainwash these young people. To forget all the culture, all the things that they learned of the Lord, to step aside. Now they're even putting in there the king's wine. He is sharing the wine with them. He's drawing them in, pulling them in. And I see this is what happens to many people, many young people today. They get pulled in to things that they shouldn't be pulled into. They fall into temptation and they begin to stroll. But I want to tell you, Daniel is of a different kind. And what makes him of a different kind is he is a young man who believes in the Lord and lives out his life. It's one thing to say that I believe, but it's another thing to say that to live it out. And Daniel wants to live it out. He wants to live it out as he assigned these things. And some of these things were against the law that Daniel knew. Certain things they couldn't eat, certain things they couldn't drink, and they were put before them. And Daniel's going to struggle with this for a minute. And he's also got a few other guys, so they're going to struggle with that. But he says here, he says this, Daniel determined in verse 9 that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. This is the crossroads. This is decision making. I'm making a line in the sand. I'm not going to defile myself. I wish many young people would say that at 16, 17, 20, 25, I'm not going to defile the body that I have into sin. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stick with what I know is real. So he goes to the eunuch, and the chief eunuch, he said, listen, I don't want to defile myself. He's going to share something. It takes a lot of guts to do that, to share. It takes a lot of guts to be able to speak up like that, because he could instantly been replaced. But what seems to be real, what we see is real, there's something even more real that's happening. What we see in the moment is what we feel is real. This is what's happening in the moment. But the real moment is that God is in control of the moment. God is in this whole scene. Even though it doesn't look like it, he's in the scene of this mess. They have captured all the things of the house of God. They stole that. They stole, now they're trying to steal the next generation. They don't care about the older ones. They're serving. They're slaving. They're doing other things. This younger generation, the plan is we're going to indoctrinate them. We want to teach them the ways of the Chaldeans. So when they come to a place and they get married, they have children, they will teach their children about the Chaldean way. And then it goes to the next generation. And then you'll see the things of the Lord will fade out. But Daniel had a different spirit. He had a different heart. I want to share something here. He says this in verse 12. There's a lot we're going to skip over because we don't have a lot of time. But he says this. Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables and eat water to drink. We don't want to eat that. Just test us. Give us an opportunity to test us doing that. Examine us to see how we are. In verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Now, what we forget here is there's some other people that are involved in this. And it's amazing because the Bible doesn't always tell us, but it's in the scriptures. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. There's these guys, these young boys. They're in this group. They've been pulled away from their home, separated from their family, separated from their country. They're young, and they've been put in here to be indoctrinated. This also, I want to remind you, and we say it all the time, be careful who you let speak in your life. Not everyone who speaks in your life has your best intentions. Not everyone who speaks in your life is speaking godly, even though they may even come to church. You need to know the Word. You need to know the will of God for yourself. You need to seek Him out. Seek godly wisdom. But be careful who you let speak into your life. These young gentlemen had people speaking into their life who were dominant, who were in charge, who were powerful. But I want to remind you that God is more powerful. He's more dominant. And here's what we don't see. Where did Daniel learn not to eat that food and defile himself? Where did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get to the point where they didn't go and follow the rest of the young men? But they kept in their own group and said, no, we're not going to defile. How did they? I'm telling you, these young men must have had great parents. Parenting is so important. These young men must have had great parents and raised them up in a godly household. Where they talked about the things of God, where they shared their hurts and pains, where they learned the law, they were taught the things of God. You don't get here by not knowing God and being able to say these things in boldness. You get here because you know God. You get to the part where you say, I don't want to defile God. You get there by saying, I don't want to defile myself, because I follow God. And so we see here, there's a lot more going on here. So they are taken into captivity, and what we see here, the stuff that the teachings that the parents put into these children, these young boys, it has grown. And they're using it. And they're saying, we don't want to defile ourselves. God is watching. Even under persecution, God is watching. How do we know that? We see this. Verse 17. What do we see? They did not want to defile themselves. They put a plea out not to eat those things, not to drink that stuff, but to be different, to follow the ways of the Lord. And it looked, even though they were even physically, they were looking better than everyone else. Could you imagine that? Let's get the beer and wine out of the house. Let's get the junk food out of the house. We're going to do it right because these guys brought something new. What happened is the palace learned something and didn't even know they learned it. Even though they weren't partaking in it, they had the others not to partake a part of it. And what we see here in verse 17, God gave these four men, now God gave these four men knowledge. Now we can learn things. That's what knowledge is knowing about something. You know about something. Kyle's going to know about plumbing. Kyle has knowledge in plumbing. Okay? Kenny has knowledge in HVAC. Right? But God gave them knowledge. And you can learn something and get smarter. People of the world learn things and they're smart. They can be lost, but they're super smart, intelligent, geniuses in things, and have a lot of knowledge. But when God gives you knowledge, it's beyond your own knowledge. It's special. It's spiritual. It's more powerful than anyone. It's more stronger than what anyone else knows of. The knowledge that God gives is directly from Him. It is, he says, God gave these four men knowledge. But not just knowledge, and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Which means, actually, these would have been your greatest students, and they would have been smarter than you. I know you're a teacher. They would have been smarter than you. And they would have been your favorite students. And you wouldn't admit, but they'd be teaching you, but you wouldn't admit it. Because you'd be putting yourself under them. These were the smartest individuals with most knowledge and understanding walking around in the whole Babylon. How did that happen? Because they let God be God in their life. They chose to do it God's way, even though it looked hard. They chose to go against the grain, do it God's way instead of their way. God has a way of opening doors that you can't open. If you just let God be God, He'll open doors that you can never open in your life. He will put you in a bad situation. He will make it doable. And He'll put you in places. We'll see Daniel. Daniel's going to be offered pennants and charms and necklaces and robes and all kinds of stuff. He didn't even care about that stuff. And God's going to lift him up. Just like He did Joseph. He's going to lift him up in all kinds. And we're going to see Daniel with four different kings. He's going to be an advisor for four different kings. And he's not even Chaldean. But God's going to work with him. I want you to remind you. I want you right now to do this. You may not like our president. You may not like our governor. You may not like your mayor. But you need to pray that there will be some people in their life that God will open up their ears that they may hear godly wisdom, like people like Daniel, that will speak into their lives. Even though you may not love our president, you may not agree, listen, pray in a way that God's word will intervene into their life. We need Daniels at the Capitol. We need Daniels in the White House. They're more important than the kings in the high positions. And this man Daniel, they don't even know. He's starting a legacy right now. I'm going to do what I'm told to do. But if it violates and defiles something, we're going to see it later, right? Where he's supposed to kind of bow down later. Those guys are supposed to bow down later, right? We'll see it later on, and we're going to see it, and we're going to see that they will do what the king tells them to do. But if it goes against God, they're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. And we're going to know that God even protects in that. So here it is. For these men, God gave them knowledge, and He gave them understanding and every kind of literature and wisdom. They may have went in as young boys, believers strong, but even in captivity, they even got bigger and stronger. Even in your adversity and your situations, you can become stronger and better. And he says, Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. God also says, and Daniel, you're going to be a little bit different than the other guys. I'm going to give you understanding of visions and dreams. Why would I have that? Well, y'all know why he's going to have that. Sometimes it's with the kings, and sometimes it's going to be with an angel. It's going to give an awesome message. Let me tell you, if God's given you something and He uses you one time with it, it's worth it. He gives you a gift and you use it, and He's into like dreams, visions. And I'm telling you, I don't think God is done with dreams and visions. Because without a vision, we wouldn't be here tonight at New Life. And here it is. He gives you that vision. He gives you that dream to Daniel. And it's all this stuff that we see is all going to play out in the life of Daniel. And here we come toward this end. He says, and at the end of the time that the king had said to present them. Now these 3 years, you're coming up, guys. You're coming up. Now the Chaldeans taught him a lot about the culture. They learned a lot. But what was it? They learned a lot. They became stronger in the cult, all that. But inside of them, they were even stronger in captivity than when they were in freedom as believers. They were walking in the room with all this wisdom and all this knowledge. We're going to see it play out too. But he says, they came and presented themselves. They present them, and the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. And the king interviewed them. What an interview to be interviewed by a king. Because if you didn't make it, you might not just make the next day. You might be out. And it says, among all of them, we don't even know how many there was trained for 3 years. But out of all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names are going to be changed. That's what they wanted to do. Change their names to become someone completely different. And God has already made them different. You see, when you come to the Lifehouse, you guys come to the Lifehouse, I'm telling you, you don't come just for the help you can get. And you let God be God in your life, He's going to make something even more different. But you got to let Him. Don't say, I make plans for myself. When Garla has goal setting, pray before you have the next goal and say, ask God what that goal is. I'm telling you, sometimes that goal can come through the Holy Spirit in a way that's just more amazing than you could ever come up with yourself. But he says, so they began to attend the king in every matter. Now what happened? Now we have godly people working in the king, not just in the king, but around the throne. That is a good sign, isn't it? If we have our president and in the White House we have believers, pray that believers will surround and be intermingling with all of them, because you know what they're doing? They're godly people. You know what they're doing? They're speaking spiritual godly words into those people's lives, and they're also doing something even more important. They're over here praying for those who they're speaking and praying for opportunities to speak into their life. Just because you're in the building doesn't give you an opportunity to speak to the head honcho. Right? We see that in the book of Nehemiah. We see that in Esther. Just because you're in the house don't mean you have a right to go see the king. But these men, these young boys had an opportunity, and they were called out to be separate. They were different. He didn't know why they were really different. When God laid a hand on them, God made them different, didn't he? God made them different. Listen, if you go to church and you can go 3 years into church and you're faithful, I promise you this, you'll be different in 3 years than you are right now today. If you give it all you got and you study, and I'm not saying you got to study like you're going to school, but you read God's Word on a regular basis. When you come to worship, you worship with your heart. And even when you are down and out, you still do the things that God wants you to do. You be faithful. I'm telling you, you're going to be different in 3 years than you are right now. And don't be surprised if God pulls you to the side and gives you something to do. And if He gives you something to do, it will always be bigger than yourself. This was bigger than Daniel. God will always call you to something bigger than yourself. And it will scare you. And it should scare you, because there is a positiveness of having the fear of the Lord in a good way. Because anything we do for God should fear us in a holy way. Because anything God calls you to do, you can't do it without Him. But Scripture says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And here it is. These young men couldn't do what they could do without God giving the verse 17. He said, in every way and of wisdom and understanding, the king consulted them about. He went to them now. He went to them and consulted them. Does that make any sense? No. But when God gets involved, God can turn the table. God says, you can be king. And you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar and his little prideful thing. But here it is. God says, you king, because I let you be king. But kings today and presidents today, because they voted me in. They did this, they did that, I'm this and that. No. It's because God lets you. I'm standing here because God's letting me. Not because I can do it on my own. No. I'm here because God let me, God called me, and this is what I'm supposed to do. We do these ministries not because we're awesome and we can do it. No, He's letting us do it. He called us to do it. When we get that perspective, knowing that God is letting us be part of His work, that He's using us for His glory, we know that it changes the whole perspective. It's all yours anyway. My life is yours. I can do it. This is why He said, please test your servants. Here it is. He knew, Daniel knew that his life could be taken, but he puts it out there anyway because he says, I'm not going to defile myself. But he doesn't say it that way. He does it and says, I don't want to defile myself. So he had an option. He had a plan. This is the plan. Could you give it a try? We see in here in scriptures that God softened that eunuch's heart. We skip some verse, but God softened hearts. Listen, God gets His way. You can bug God for 20 years, but He's still going to get His way. Okay? So here He says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the Medians and all the entire kingdom. Yeah. He was the smartest man in the kingdom. Now, if I'm in charge, you know what? I'm going to rally around me the smartest people. When there's a problem in the church or a problem in my life, I'm going to surround myself. If it's a problem in the church, I'm going to surround myself with people in the church that are godly, that are walking, that I feel spiritually that are walking. I'm going to share and confide in a few things. If it's something in my personal life as a pastor and I've got something I want to work through, I'm probably not going to call you. I'm going to call somebody like Brad. I'm going to call I'll work with Phil. I'm going to talk with a pastor. Sometimes I'll talk to Scott. Guys that I know that understand me and know me in that kind of way. I'm going to find those peers. This is what King Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He put around him the people he knew that would give him the best advice. This also caused dissension between the Chaldeans. They couldn't figure it out. This is not what's supposed to happen. But God puts his men in there, and they're doing a whole lot more than Nebuchadnezzar. I think it's an amazing thing. God was blessing in a place where people are saying, God, where are your blessing? I don't see your blessings. I can't see it. Because we're so focused on the hardship instead of the Lord. We're so focused on the darkness instead of the light of the Lord. And we'll see those who focus on the Lord, even today, will find themselves getting out of that darkness faster and able to deal with it better than those who are looking and complaining about the darkness. I want to share with you before I close out here in Romans. This is a true piece. This is a part of it in Romans 12. Many of us know in verse 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, and that's what this is, the mercies of God. God was upset with his people. You're going in captivity, but God still had mercy on them. Amen. God still had mercy on him. I got my hand on you guys. You need the discipline, but I'm going to do some amazing things. He says, I urge you, Paul says, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Daniel says, I'm not going to defile myself. He didn't know about this verse, but you know what? That's the God Spirit working in Daniel, the same one that was working right here in Romans chapter 12. He says, I'm not going to defile myself. And think about it. He probably don't even know where his parents are. His parents could have died. And when they besieged the city, a lot of loss. He could have just said, I give up. But he did. I'm not going to defile myself. And the scripture says, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And I believe Daniel would have died. I believe Daniel would have let his life be given up. He was not going to defile it. How do I know that? Because then you read Daniel in the lion's den. Same guy, same spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in a fire. Same guys, same spirit. They would have let their life be taken. They were not going to defile. Listen, there's some things that we need to draw a line in the sand, and I'm afraid that many of us Christians stop doing that. And he says, not only as a living sacrifice, but holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Your true worship is giving your life to the Lord. And then he says this, do not be conformed to this age. The Chaldeans were saying, you need to be conformed to us. You need to change to us. We're indoctrinating you. We're brainwashing you. They're not saying that, but that's what they're doing. They're brainwashing them to become Chaldeans, even to the point of changing their name. And he says, do not be conformed in this age, but what? Be transformed by my own intelligence? No. By my name? No. But by the renewing of your mind, right? So that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. You'll never get out of a dark hole unless God is with you in that dark hole. You can remain in a dark hole for your whole life. The only true way of getting out of a dark hole, I believe, is letting God be with you in the dark hole, in a dark place. Listen, we stop believing. Much of the church has stopped believing in demons. Much of the church has stopped believing in the occult, that it's real. If you go back in time and you talk to Daniel, he would tell you it's the real deal. I lived it. I just didn't live it one time. I lived it every single day. I lived it amongst and shared the same house with people who would call upon demons all the time. But the king kept coming to me. The king kept coming. This king kept coming to me. That king kept coming to me. Is there any of you out here tonight and you wonder why people keep calling you and asking for your advice? It's because they trust you. They've been watching you. They believe in their eyesight that you're trying to live the best life that God has laid out for you. And they want you to speak into their life because they want someone that is spiritual to speak into their life. Be careful what you say when they keep calling or they call. Ask God to give you wisdom. And you speak the words of God's will. You won't be long and someone else will call you. And then someone else will call you. And you don't even realize it sometimes. We just think it's going over our head. But God is using you to speak in people's lives. To speak in people's lives. We may not believe in the demonic world, but it is here. It's still here. But I want to remind you that God's power is stronger. God's presence is more stronger and more powerful. That we can overcome the world with the Lord. And we can overcome any obstacle with the Lord. The problem is we kind of stop believing it. Maybe we need to render our hearts back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to defile myself. And Lord, maybe I defile myself and I need to seek for forgiveness of defiling myself. You know what's good when you're breathing? You still have opportunity to get it right with God. You still have opportunity to get it right with God. You're still breathing. So I'm going to close today and challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. About your strength with the Lord, your walk with the Lord. Father, Lord, I just pray, Father, for each one of us that are here tonight, that we may, that your Spirit may examine us in a way that will be with truth and with your Spirit, because we know that you will speak truth, because that's all you speak is truth. Lord, we sometimes can confuse ourselves and think that we are good when we're not, or that we've struggled and we can control our temptations, or our struggle is only for a moment, but we know in truth that our struggle is because we're wrestling with things. I pray, Father, Lord, tonight that you would do what only you can do, is move a heart toward yourself. For it's for your glory that people draw to yourself. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and